Welcome to Applied Spirituality with Radhanath Swami on devotionalnectar.com. This is episode 4, The Power to Change.
The power to change is in each and every one of our hands at every moment. As human beings, we have a most precious gift, a gift that differentiates us from all other species of life. The fish, the insects, the reptiles, the animals, the birds, they are more or less programmed by nature to behave in certain ways. You never see a tiger becoming a vegetarian on ethical grounds. And you never see a cow running as fast as it can to devour a rabbit, because they really have no choice. They act according to their nature. You never see a mosquito eating berries because he doesn't want to hurt anyone. They can't think beyond the way they're karmically programmed by nature. But a human being has free will. That free will can create the worst disasters or the greatest blessings. We could create nuclear bombs and drop them. We can pollute the environment. We can create crime. We can declare wars. We could do terrorism. We could abuse the innocent. It's based on free will. Or we could enlighten ourselves and perform every act, every word, and every thought in a spirit of deep compassion for all living beings. So when we speak of change, we are speaking of how we choose to use our free will. We all have that. In one sense, the way creation has been designed since beginning, it's constantly changing. We can't stop change. It's just a question of what type of change we want to facilitate. Mahatma Gandhi, Subhash Chandra Bose, they believed in something by their free will, and they were willing to make sacrifices for their ideal. People were willing to be killed. They were willing to be beaten, willing to be publicly disgraced, willing to be imprisoned. And because of their determination for their ideal, the freedom fighters, India is an independent nation. But what kind of problems are still here? How many problems? Nelson Mandela, just a single man, he was in prison for so many decades. He was beaten. He was deprived of human decency. And then he became the president of his nation. And when he died, every newspaper, every magazine, every television station on the planet was only talking about that. He chose to make a change. In the country where I was born, in the 1860s, which is not that long ago, I was born in 90, it was just 80 years before I was born, all the African American people were slaves. They were bought and sold. And whoever bought them, they were their property, and either they did what they were told to do, or they were usually killed. There wasn't even a penalty, hardly, for killing a slave, because it's your property. And then there was a civil war. That was a big change. More Americans were killed in the Civil War than World War I or World War II. It was Americans fighting Americans over ideologies, the North and the South. Massive slaughter of human life. After that, things didn't really change that much. They changed in the law books. People may not have owned, but there wasn't freedom. African American people were forced to live in the ghettos. In many states of America, they weren't allowed in colleges with white people. They weren't allowed in restaurants with white people. And Martin Luther King and other people, they began their civil rights movement. They went to prison. They were beaten. Many were killed. And it's unimaginable, because I was part of that movement when I was young. It's absolutely inconceivable and unimaginable to change that today the president of the United States is an African American. Coming from that culture just 30, 40 years ago. But still, how many problems in America, and the poor president, my God, he's getting smashed. He's getting baseballs thrown at his head at every second in various ways. So the world is always changing. And for social change, people stand up with determination and belief in their ideals and the willingness to take risks. And what kind of technological and scientific changes has been there? As I have said before, just my father's 90 years old. When he was a child, there was no such thing as television. There was no such thing as telephones in people's houses. There was no such thing as a computer. Only the richest people could afford a car. And when I was young, it wasn't that much different. And now, my God, before the class, every class, somebody has to announce, turn off your cell phones. I just saw somebody do it at this moment. One just went off right now. We didn't orchestrate that either. Incredible, everyone. The science, the technology. You know, there were so many diseases. People were dying of smallpox all over the world. Now there's no smallpox. Tuberculosis, if you had it, you'd die. Now there's so many cures. Heart disease. Now there's open heart surgeries. Such incredible progress, such incredible change in medicine, technology, and telecommunications and entertainment technologies. What to speak of military? Now, you know, if a bomb's coming, you just press a button and it goes into the air and hits the bomb. Who could imagine such a thing? But with all our medical technology, is the world much healthier? I was at a conference in California where some of the most accomplished investors, bankers, entertainers, scientists, and medical people were having seminars. Leaders of countries, leaders of universities. And they had statistics that in the people living today, 1/3 of every male is going to have cancer in their life. And 1/4 of every female is going to have cancer in her life. That's a medical statistic of what's coming. And hepatitis and heart disease. With all our medical technology, are we much healthier? And mental disease is worse than it's ever been in recorded history. One of the largest selling drugs is a drug for depression. It's billions of dollars invested in these drugs for depression. So much stress. Even in leading universities, suicides of students, top students. It's happening all over the world. With all of our military progress and technologies, there's still so many wars and the dangers of an all-out war now is the worst it's ever been in history. Srila Prabhupada explains that with all of our progress, there is a pinprick. That just, nothing's really getting better. In certain levels, it's better. But what's really required to make things better? The Bhagavatam gives us the solution. That just like if you have an infection in your blood, boils may come on your body. I know people who have had boils for years and years and years, continuously. And with every boil, there's a way to relieve it and to treat it and to bring it to a painful head where all that pus starts gushing out. And it gushes out for a couple days, and then there's a hole in your arm or wherever it is, all over your body, and then you put all this medicines on it to disinfect it and everything else. And then a few days later, another boil. You see, treating symptoms are necessary. But there's no real solution unless we go to the root cause, which is the disease in the blood. We have to treat that. So the reason for all the anxiety and the stress and the conflict and the pollution and the misuse of the glorious things we've been given is something within ourselves. We cannot connect to our source, to God, to Krishna, unless our hearts become clean. And when we actually connect to that source, then we become empowered by that. And then what incredible changes we could make in the world. What incredible changes could take place in our own life, in the lives of those who are close to us, and what we could do instrumentally and collectively for the whole world. It's beyond ourselves. But the change is not just a superficial change. It's not just a change of names or positions. It's a change from the desire to exploit to the desire to serve with love, with compassion. It's a change where we actually connect with the power, the supreme power of Radha, Krishna's grace. Or whatever name we may have for God, that one supreme source who we call Krishna, to connect to that love, to that grace. And there is no greater power than that. That change lifts us above not only envy, anger, pride, greed, selfishness, arrogance, it lifts us above birth and death. Srila Prabhupada, the great acharyas, they've come into our lives to give us an opportunity to be instruments of that power, to change ourselves, and to change according to our capacity and beyond our capacity, the world to a better place.
You were listening to Radhanath Swami on devotionalnectar.com.